For those of you that were here the last time I spoke, PowerPoint. I have moved into the whatever century it is. Sometimes I wonder if I have bitten off more than I can chew. When I was talking with Pat about the speaking during the time when we were going to be talking about the kingdom, I said, I would really like to do something about rewards. And so he says, great. He said, I'll give you 2 weeks for that. And I said, okay, I can do that. And I'm going to do it, but I literally could do like 6-7 weeks on this, honestly. And I don't think you would be bored at any of them. There is just so much about rewards in the Bible. It's just astounding. And we're just really in these 2 weeks are just going to be just trying to get an overview. And it's a very big overview because even in an overview, it's pretty large. One thing I wanted to start off with, and probably the most important thing, is trying to help you keep separate in your mind eternal life and eternal rewards. They're two separate things. One leads to the other, but they're very different. And it's important to keep them apart because with eternal life, that is something that has been freely given to us through faith in Christ. We understood his death, burial, and resurrection. We understood his person, and we understood that in believing in that person, we would have everlasting life. It's free. It cost you nothing. Not only did he give us eternal life, and this is a theme that's going to run all the way through eternal rewards. At the moment of eternal life, he gives us 40 different things immediately. Things like we become justified, we become cleansed, we become regenerated, and on and on and on and on. What the theme that runs through God in this area is he is a giver like nothing else. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. And he doesn't stop giving. And so we're going to have opportunities to receive even more than what he gives us when we were saved. Now he's given us an opportunity to earn rewards, things that we were going to be working for. These are going to be extra privileges that we're going to be receiving in the kingdom by the works that we do through faith on earth. They are eternal rewards. The rewards we get are forever. One of the things we get when we're saved is an inheritance, and that's free. But we can squander it. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to rely on him, and he wants us to do things. He doesn't want us to sit back and relax and kick our legs up and watch the world go by. He wants us to be involved, he wants us to be active, and he wants us to be doing things. We were created for that. There's some differences between eternal life and eternal rewards, and we can see some distinctions here. Perfect. Eternal life, based on Christ's work for us. He did it all. Eternal rewards, based on our works for Christ. Eternal life received by faith in Christ. Eternal rewards received by obedience to Christ. Eternal life, eternal destination. Eternal rewards, eternal compensation. Eternal life is past tense. It's been done for us. We're saved. It happened in a past, in a point in time when we trusted in Christ. Eternal rewards are future. There's something that we're working up on now and storing them up for the kingdom to come. Eternal life, free, absolutely free. Eternal rewards, you got to earn it, baby. You know, you got to get in there and you got to work for it. Eternal life can't be lost. Eternal rewards can be lost. And that's something really you should remember as we're going through these rewards, that you remember that these rewards can be lost. We're not gained at all. And some of these rewards are pretty awesome. And finally, eternal life, same for all believers. We all get it the exact same way. We get all the benefits of that the exact same way. Eternal rewards differs among believers. There's going to be a time when we're going to be before the Lord, and we're going to be talking about that when we go through here, that we're some of us are going to get more than others. We're not all going to be in heaven and equally. Some people are going to be ruling over nations, and other people probably won't have a house. And so this probably, some of this might even be new to you, and some of this probably you might even have heard before, but we're going to drag this all out of the Bible. I don't make these things up. I was sitting, working through this these past few weeks and looking at different things. You know, I thought I knew quite a bit, and I was, you know, pretty sure I was like pretty knowledgeable about it. And then, and that's the good thing about teaching is like you learn more than students ever do. You know, it's even hard to convey how much you pick up through these things. But it's important to remember that what we do in this life now is going to make a world of difference when we enter into God's kingdom. And there's two phases to God's kingdom. There's the millennial kingdom, his kingdom here on earth. And then there's also his eternal kingdom, the new heavens and new earth. And these rewards are going to be for us to use during those times. Here's a biblical fact again about this. I wanted to read the verse at Matthew 5:19. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There will be people who will be least, there will be people who will be great, and there will be people that be in the middle. And we'll see that more as we go through. Eternal rewards are motivation for Christian living. And they've got another chart to look at. There's four types of that this affects in our life. There's the physical. With present rewards, like what we get here now on earth, we can get a better quality of life. When we do these things that God wants us to do, our life can be better. It doesn't mean that we'll be wealthy. It doesn't mean that we'll be rolling in dough or, you know, having everything that we want. It just means our life will have a better quality to it. We will be better people for it. We will understand God better. We will be doing the things that he wants. When trials come to us, we'll be able to go through them better. We'll have a better understanding of things. So that's what we get with kind of present rewards now. But what we're going to be dealing with mostly is eternal rewards. So in the physical, we're going to have a better eternal life. And isn't that cool? I mean, you think about it, and if you do the things that God wants you to do, that he's called you to do, that he's shown us what he wants us to do in his word, you're laying up treasures in heaven for a better life. And that's amazing. And when we look at these rewards and what you can have, and there's a whole slew of them, when you start looking at those things, you're going to go like, wow, I never, really? Wow, you know, no, that can't be. It is. It's true. He's got gobs of stuff for you. And he wants you to be motivated by that. There's a mental reward presently. I have written down joy, peace, but you can just think of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. I forgot the one in self-control. So, you know, he gives you, you have these things, and they're nice, but they're fleeting. I don't have joy every day. I don't have peace every day. My wife will tell you I rarely have self-control. I mean, these are the kind of things that are good and we can have, and if we work, we can work on those things and we have those things, but they're fleeting here. In eternity, when we're there, they won't be fleeting. They will be a part of who we are. We'll have more satisfaction. We'll be doing exactly what it is that God wants us to do. We'll be in the place where he wants us to be, and we will have joy and contentment in the areas that we are serving in the kingdom. Social, enhanced relationships. I mean, really, do you have the same kind of relationships with people in the world that you have with those who are in your family? When we're in Christ, we have these relationships that are really amazing because we're a family. We're brothers and sisters. We have these wonderful things in common, the best of which is that we're in Christ. We learn to serve each other, to help out, to lift up, to pray for. And it's just amazing. So our relationships are enhanced. They're better than what the world has. In the eternal kingdom, those rewards that we receive, we're going to be serving others more. Because every reward that we get from God is going to be for us to use in the eternal kingdom to serve others. Can you imagine what that would be like? You know, it's just, that's the way it's going to be. And then there's a spiritual one. And then what we have now is we have a closeness to God. Our flesh keeps us from having the great relationship that we really could have. We're always going to be stumbling. Like Brian was in that Romans 7 passage, that struggle, that wrestle, what's wrong with me? You know, I mean, I like the one when I'm an idiot. You know, it's like you feel like that sometimes. So we're close to him, but just, do you ever ache to want more? I know I do. I mean, I struggle. I do ache when I do things wrong, and I just, what's wrong with me? I'm just thankful that my sin isn't the problem, that my flesh is, and that he's more than willing to forgive me. I need to learn to forgive myself. But with eternal rewards, the spiritual is closer to God. The opportunity to have an intimate relationship with God. We're going to look at some of the gifts that God's given us and that he's going to be giving us, the rewards, I should say, the rewards that he's going to be giving to us so that we're going to just, I mean, can you imagine having dinner with Jesus? I mean, really, do you ever think about that? Having dinner with Jesus, just sitting there with Jesus and a couple of boys, talking, eating, laughing, making plans. I mean, that is a reward for people that overcome. Would you like that reward? Who would like that reward? Honestly, is there anybody here that wouldn't want to do that? That was probably the better question to ask. Anyhow, that's something for us. We're going to be closer to God, closer than you can imagine. I can't imagine. I hear these things. I read them in the Bible. I still can't imagine what it's going to be like. But I want it. Eternal rewards are everywhere in the Bible. Beginning from Genesis 15 on, everywhere. It's amazing. But they're in the New Testament, it's just amazing. You can see it up there. 25 of the 27 books in the New Testament reference rewards. Only two don't, Philemon and 3 John. Every other book talks about rewards somewhere. You think he's trying to get something across to us? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, hell is referenced 7 times in the Bible. How much do we talk about hell? And in any of the 7 times, some of them probably really don't talk about our eternal destiny. They're talking about something else. So the actual concept of hell and what it's like, we really don't know a whole lot about it other than it's, you know, not so hot or, well, not so cold. Matthew and Revelation have the most references to it, which is not surprising. And in the Sermon Mount, on the Sermon on the Mount alone, there are 30 references to eternal rewards. That is amazing. That is important. You know, when you get a, if any of you ever read a systematic theology or look, if you went to school and did that, anybody else that hasn't read one, you're not missing much. But they go in there and they go into a lot of detail about theology and different things. And you never get any much more than a footnote about eternal rewards. And yet a lot of the other things that they pontificate on, chapter upon chapter upon chapter, and eternal rewards get hardly anything. And some of these other things, they're really, in a sense, not that important for those of us that want to live out what we're going to do every day. It's theologians love to argue about it and write books about it. And if they spent as much time getting out in the world and doing something about it, we probably wouldn't have so many books that talk about things that we don't need to know a whole lot about. Nothing wrong with being a theologian. Because now we're going to look at Greek words. but just 4 of them. And just to illustrate one point, three of them are nouns, one's a verb. I can pronounce them if you'd like to. But basically, I will. Mistos. Payment owed for work done. Payment for work done. And the padosis, a compensating reward for some work or action. So you do something, you get something for it. This is a tougher one to pronounce, but it's a mythopadosia. It's a recompense, retribution, or payment. And that could be negative or positive. So sometimes when you see that in the Bible, it have like a negative connotation to it, like a you hurt my people, I'm going to kill you. So that's kind of a thing. So that's not very positive, but that is used for that. And the last one, padidomai, is to pay, and it's implying payment of an insured obligation. So the whole point of those four is not one of them is a free gift. Every one of those nouns and verb is talking about working for something. It's not something that's given to you for no reason. It's something that has been earned, whether good or bad. And we're commanded to acquire rewards in heaven. It's not an option. It's a command. It is not selfish to seek rewards. God wants us to do that. He understands the way that we are as people. He made us this way. Our life is supposed to, we're looking for significance and security. And those are the things that we get through God. And some of the ways that those things are accomplished are through relationships and the things that we do. That's why when we go to work, I think for the most part, we work the best that we can and the hardest that we can so that we can earn the money that we can have, that we can earn reputations, that we can go on greater and move further into life. But they're the kind of things that we do. We were made that way. We need security. We need to be loved. We need to be cared for. We need other people to love us, and we need to love them. And we all these relationships and things that happen, God has made us. We're driven people. He's made us to rule. That's what Adam and Eve were supposed to do. They were to rule. They were to tend the earth. They were to procreate and fill the earth. We do really good on the third one. You know, not so much on the others. But God wants us to do those things. He wants us to work on them. He wants us to lay up treasures. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up, command, lay up for yourselves I am going to be responsible for myself. I have to, these treasures that I could possibly get, it's all up to me. It's not selfish, it's motivation. God knows the way that we are. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will lie. What do we get rewarded for? Now some of this seems so simple, but God just wants to gift us for everything. It's amazing. You're thinking like, oh, should I pray? Should I not pray? For praying for God, you get a reward. I'm not going to go through all these verses. I don't have time at all. But for assembling together, we get rewarded. For charitable giving, we get rewarded. For serving other believers, we get rewarded. For showing kindness, we get rewarded. For doing good works, we get rewarded. For righteousness, we get rewarded. For confessing Christ, we get rewarded. For doing evangelism, we get rewarded. For enduring trials, we get rewarded. For enduring persecution, we get rewarded. For faithfulness unto death, martyrdom, we get rewarded. Now, I don't think there's a whole lot of us that are going to get a reward for the last one, but there are saints that are going to be for Christ, and they're going to give an account, and they're going to get a reward for that, and I can't even imagine what it is. Second Timothy, I'm going to read these three verses for this last example. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Wow. The King of Kings. And you being able to sit alongside of him. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. A full reward. What? I can't even imagine what that all means. When we start looking, I mean, we're just looking at what's getting rewarded. Where do we get to what the rewards are? And there's all kinds of rewards. And then in Revelation 2:26, and he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give power over nations. I can't even imagine. I was in management. It was hard sometimes managing two people. But managing nations, amazing. When do we receive the rewards? Matthew 16:27, it's pretty clear. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. So there's going to be a point in time when Jesus is going to come and give rewards. Now, this goes in the area of the future. You know, the technical term is eschatology. There's all kinds of things that people believe about eschatology. I have my own thing. I've been studying God's word for 48 years. I know what I believe there. But there's some people are amillennial, some people are postmillennial, some people are premillennial. That's and then in those groups, there's people who are very on all those things. Okay, and then you have your pre-trib, and then your post-trib, and then you have your no-trib, and then you have your mid-trib, and then you have your pre-wrath trib. And if it doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. He's coming back. That's, I can guarantee you that. That one I know for sure because it says it right here. He's coming back, and nobody knows when. Nobody knows when. But when he comes back, there's going to be some things happening, and it's going to be judgment. And where will this take place? In 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So this is going to take place in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it's a literal thing. I believe that there's going to be a chair or a stand at the least. But Jesus will be sitting in a throne, in a chair. And we're going to be standing in front of him. They call it the judgment seat. The Greek word is bema, which really isn't a seat. It's an award stand, and it was used in the Greek world. It was used for a number of things, but one of the things that it was used for was for athletes when they were competed in events. The winners would come and get their awards at the bema, which was in the center of the town, and everybody would come and they watch and they would see, and the athlete would get his reward. And so I think that's basically it's going to happen. I think that's the way it's going to be. And every person will be there one by one by one by one by one. What is going to happen? Well, like I said, he will reward each according to his works. No one is going to be judged for their sin. Why is that? It's already been taken care of. It's gone. On earth, every believer either obeys or strays. You're either with him or you're away from him. He's never away from you, but we have a tendency to stray. So when we're on there, Romans 14:12. So then each of us shall give an account to God. This is going to happen. You may wish that it didn't, but it's going to. I am going to have to give an account for everything I have ever done since the day I was born again. At times I think, feel shame. And other times, I think I'm going to feel okay. But I'm going to have to be there, and I'm going to have to hear it. Every believer's obedience is recorded. If there's something left, it'll be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. There's not going to be any doubt. There's going to be no arguing. There's going to be no excuses. We're going to be laid bare. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. We're not going to be equal. We're not going to get the same rewards. It's not going to happen, and we need to remember that. When the failures that I've had in my life are miserable. The successes I've had sometimes have been grand. I don't know where I'm going to fit on this scale. I hope it's not on the bottom. I'd like to at least have a decent job. We're going to look more about in the kingdom, and we're going to see that the kingdom is a little bit more than you think it is. It's probably a little bit more like here than you think it is. In heaven, Jesus will give eternal rewards to each believer that they've earned during this life. Individual, it's all you. All you standing before God. If I got to make this thing go, get it done in 2 weeks, I have to go just a little bit over, so I just have one more thing to cover. The parable of the mina. This was talked about a little bit the last time, and so I'm not going to go too into it, but I do want to point out some things about this parable. It's up there. You can look it up, write down the reference, read it in your Bible. You've all heard it before, but there's a couple points in here I wanted to bring out. It talks about that everybody was thinking that the kingdom of God was supposed to appear immediately. I mean, they were thinking Jesus was the king, he was Messiah, and the kingdom was coming. They were looking for it right now. Bang. And so Jesus wanted to illustrate some things about this kingdom. And he talks about this calling on of 10 servants, and he gave them 10 minas, and that they were supposed to engage in business. That was the command. They were to engage in business. So we see here that as we go through, the king goes away, he comes back, and then he wanted to see what they gained from their business. from what it was they were supposed to do, the works that they were supposed to accomplish. And the first guy, he comes up, the first servant, he made 10 minas. Now, I tried to do some research on what a mina was worth, and I did find out that it was worth 10 denarii. And supposedly, a denarius, was worth either a week's wage, or a day's wage, or a month's wage. So it really depended. I don't know if it was inflation or what it was, but you know, I guess it's somebody's wildest guess. But a mina supposedly was the price for a slave, interesting enough. But anyhow, it's a lot of money, all right? One person I read says that a mina, these 10 minas was about $100,000, that a mina was worth maybe about $10,000. That's a lot of money. Back then, it's even more money. So that's what he received. And what does he say to him? Well done, good servant. Well done, good servant. You did better than you needed to. You went above and beyond. You really brought back money to my account, and man, I'm giving you 10 kingdoms. I believe these are literal kingdoms. I don't believe these are figured. This is figurative language. Because I don't believe it, because we're going to see over and over and over again that God's, one of the rewards that his overcomers, his prime people are going to get, is reigning with him and having kingdoms. And some kingdoms will be huge, and some of them will be, I grew up in a little town called Yardley. Some of it might be Yardley. Yardley's a nice place. I love Yardley. But it's not the United States. You know, I don't mean to sound greedy, but God, could I get that? No, I don't think so. But I'd probably, hopefully, get Lyman? Something? I don't know. Maybe nothing. I might not even get a house. But, you know, but it's huge. And then he goes down to the next one. Or then he says, so I'll give you 10 cities. And the next one, 5 minas. And he says, you're going to get 5 cities. What doesn't he say? Well done, good servant. But you still did good. You did good. You could have done 10. You did 5. I'll give you 5 cities. And he goes to the last guy. Yeah, he had the mine in his handkerchief, holding on to it. And I went to this one. He said, the excuse this guy gives, the first one you can kind of understand. I think a lot of us do things sometimes because we're kind of afraid, like I might lose the mina. And so when he first starts out, it kind of sounds like that's what he's saying. And then you look down, and then you see this next one here that he says, because you are a severe man, that's what the servant says to him, because you are a severe man, you take what you do not deposit and reap what you do not sow. Why should I work for you? Because you get it all, and I get nothing. Take that mina from him and give it to the one that has 10. You wicked slave. It's a believer. It was a servant. It was something that he gave a task to. It's my life, and I want what's coming to me, and what you're giving to me ain't coming to me. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. What we do in this life now matters for eternity. That loss is lost. That inheritance squandered. You spend time in the pits with the pigs. There's a lot to lose. You still might, he might let you wear his ring for a day. Put on a robe. Letting everybody know that you're still his son. But there's loss. Father, I just thank you for this time. We've just barely scratched this. You have so much that you've given us, and you give us so much warning. You make things so clear. We don't have to guess about this. You want us to take the things that we've been given and turn it back tenfold. Father, help us take this to heart. Help us see the urgency. Help us to see that it's not just eternal gain, but it also can mean eternal loss. Pray that as we go out into the world, we rely on your Spirit, that we work hard, that we do not fail, that we endure. I do so much thank you for the gift of eternal life that you've given us in Jesus, that we can even have the opportunity to earn these kinds of things. What a loving, giving God you are. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.